Word. As we look into your precious word tonight, or this morning, it examines us. We thank you, Lord, that it's a mirror. It shows us who we are, who you are. It shows us your nature, your character, everything about you, Lord. And it also shows us what our future holds. And you hold the future. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, encamp your angels about them. They are the apple of your eye. And we do pray for them. We also pray for their enemies, that you would pull a harvest out of them, that you would save souls. You command us to love our enemies and bless those who curse you and do and those who despise you, and we're to pray for them. And so this morning, with open Bibles and open hearts, we pray that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive what you have for us. And give us the milk and the meat and the manna that we need, Lord, to feed our souls today. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning when I pulled in the parking lot, I saw a horse out there. Now I know why. Because Eric was doing the announcements today, so. Couldn't resist, Eric. Y'all. Genesis 24, here comes the bride. Subtitle, I guess, would be, I will go, and you'll see what that means in a moment. Here comes the bride. And this morning I find it interesting that chapter 24, like I said, is the longest chapter in the book of Genesis. It's the story of how a man took a wife. Notice I said a man and a wife. Husband and a wife, man and a woman. God is the one that created them, male and female. So I just want to emphasize that a little bit, especially with what we have going on right now in Palm Springs, a pride parade, drag parade. When I grew up, drag was Irwindale Raceway. We don't watch the dragsters go the quarter mile. That's why we go through God's word. We need to know the truth today. And even when we began the book of Genesis, I thought if every kindergarten, every middle school, every high school and college even taught just Genesis chapter 1, we would have a different country today. Talks about creation, talks about God making them male and female, talks about marriage, male and female, husband and a wife. And, you know, and I believe the reason that we're in the shape that we're in today in America is because we've gotten rid of God's holy word. There's a lot of pastors today that have thrown out the Old Testament. Are you kidding me? Look at the incredible things we've seen thus far, just in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. That's why we teach it all, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And so we have the story of how a man took a wife, and we're going to see a very beautiful love story. And it again, as we saw last Sunday, is a foreshadow of that which is to come, a picture of that which is to come. A father sends a helper to bring a bride for his son. Hello. It's a foreshadow through the life of Abraham of what we're awaiting right now. God the Father sent his son into this world to save us. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. And he's coming very, very soon. Look what's going on in Israel right now. We need to be ready. And so we have a foreshadow of things to come. A father sending a helper, and Jesus even referred to the person of the Holy Spirit as a helper, to bring a bride for his son. And so we see a picture of our Heavenly Father getting a bride for Jesus. As we know, the church is referred to in many places as a bride, the bride of Christ. When the trump of God sounds, when the rapture happens, the harpazo, we're going to the wedding supper of the Lamb. What kind of wedding supper is that going to be? I can't even imagine. We're going to have a new body to attend. This body made out of dust would go poof in heaven. We would be so excited. And so the church is referred to as a bride. We're waiting for the trump of God to sound so that we can go to the wedding supper of the bride. And that which we will see involves Isaac, who is the son of promise. You know the story if you were with us. And he's going to marry a precious lady by the name of Rebecca. And again, it's a picture of Jesus Christ and his church. As we'll see in our first section here this morning, we'll get to it in a moment. We always have a little bit of an introduction to bring you up to speed to where we are. But there is going to be a separation. In the first section of the scriptures, there's going to be a separation. Abraham will make it very clear that his son was not to marry a Canaanite. Canaanites were heathens. They were pagans. Jews were not to intermarry with heathens or pagans, just like we are commanded to in Scripture, 1 Corinthians today, that we are not to marry as believers, unbelievers. Oftentimes, when I do marriage counseling, premarital counseling, first question, what's your relationship with the Lord? Are you both born again? Are you both saved? 2 Corinthians makes it very clear, chapter 6, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, or light to darkness? And Paul the Apostle writes, come out from among them and be separate. So we see that there's going to be a separation. And so Genesis 24 is actually a great encouragement for those who desire God's will in finding a mate. Why? Because marriage is a gift from God. And look how that's changed in America. I never refer to Tina as my old lady. I never say we just got hitched. She is a precious gift from the Lord that I adore. And we just had we've only been married a short time, just 48 years. But it's a blessing from heaven. And I'm not saying this because she's upstairs with the Sunday school kids. But I tell this to her all the time, how precious of a gift she is. Marriage is a gift. It is divinely designed by God. And we are supposed to, again, in marriage, as believers, obey what the Holy Scriptures say. And God makes it very simple. And one of my favorite sections of Scripture for marriage is right out of the book of Ephesians. This verse is often quoted by men. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Sit, speak, fetch. You know, give me a break, guys. And I often point people out, just back up two verses. And guess what it says? Submitting to one another in the Lord. And you know what makes for a precious, holy matrimony, marriage? Is when the husband submits and serves the wife, and the wife submits and serves the husband, and it is a marriage made in heaven. That's so, so important. God designed it. God gives us instructions for marriage. And if you really want to have a marriage made in heaven, and as I mentioned, you've heard my testimony before, we had a marriage made in hell for 7 years, but when Jesus Christ became the center of it and we began to obey his word, it changed drastically, heavenly. And so, God designed marriage. It's a gift from God. And today, the same principles apply, as we're going to see in our text this morning. We need to seek God's will. And Abraham is seeking God's will for a bride for his son Isaac. We must pray. Abraham spent a lot of time at the altar praying and interceding for not only his family, but now for his son Isaac. And I would encourage you who have children that are of the age of getting married to pray. Get on your knees. Go to your altar, if you would. Intercede on their behalf that they would marry a godly woman. Marry a godly man. That's so, so important. Also, we not only must pray, but we need to seek God's guidance. And we must be willing to obey what God's word says. To me, the second most important decision in this life, and this is just my own personal opinion, the second most important decision in this life is who we're going to marry. Why? Because in the vows it says, as long as we both shall live. And again, you've heard my testimony. I almost threw it all away. 42 years ago. And if I would have, I'd probably be dead right now. You've heard my testimony. And I would not be enjoying my children and grandchildren now. And now my grandchildren are getting old enough, and my two grandsons have girlfriends, and they're both women of God, and it blesses my heart to see what God has done in our family because Jesus Christ saved us. And it's so important for us to obey God's word. And I really believe that the second most important decision in this life is who you marry. For better or worse, rich or poor, sickness and in health, and as long as you both shall live. Not love. I know there's times Tina's wanted to break my neck. But we still have that divine love from heaven that is the center of our marriage. And so the first, of course, is believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the first important choice, that you choose him to be your Lord, your Savior. And so here this morning in verses 1 to 9 in our text, let's read it together. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. I love that word all. I circled it. And we as believers can say the same thing, can't we? God has blessed us in all things. Why? Because all things work together for good for those who love God. The bummers as well as the blessings work together for good. And so Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who we believe is Eliezer, who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh. That's how they made an oath. And I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac. And the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? But Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. And so we see here again, Abraham is old, well advanced in years. He's actually at this particular time 140 years old. Think, wow, that's old. Yeah, but he's going to live another 35 years. Imagine, his birthday cake would set off the smoke alarm, because mine almost does right now. His great concern was that before he died, that he would find a wife for his son Isaac. This would fulfill God's covenant promise. Why? Because God made a covenant with Abraham that his seed would be as the stars in the heavens, and he would be blessed by many descendants. Again, more importantly, that God's son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would come through the seed of Abraham, through his descendants. And he would be born of a virgin in Bethlehem, even as Scripture says. In verse 2, Abraham calls his eldest servant, and he makes him swear in an oath that when he was sent out to take a wife for Isaac, that she would not be a Canaanite, a heathen, an unbeliever. And that she would be from Abraham's relatives, verse 4 tells us. And that when he went, that he would not take Isaac with him, verse 6 tells us. And Abraham also told his servant that God would send an angel before him to guide him to the right woman. Wow. So all the bases are covered. And again, the servant will immediately go. We'll see in verse 10 that he will take 10 camels and depart. Last but not least, though, here, if the woman refused to follow him, that his servant would be released from the oath And he swore to Abraham concerning this matter. Verse 10 now. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women, gee, what a coincidence, go out to draw water. You've probably seen pictures of women with these big pots on their heads and on their shoulders. They would go in the morning and in the evening, and they would go to the well and fill up the pots with water. Notice verse 12. Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink, let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Wow. Interesting. He doesn't waste any time in verse 10. He heads out, loads up 10 camels with his master's goods, and he departs now for Mesopotamia. What he does now is commonly known, I'm sure you've heard the term before, is laying out a fleece. We often do that in prayer. And it's not telling what God to do, but laying out a fleece is so that God would confirm that you're on the right track. This is always the best thing that we can do in any situation is to pray and to seek God's will. And if you need to, lay out a fleece. You're not telling the Lord what to do. Basically, he's looking for a confirmation in this situation. So he prays. Interesting. Lord, here I stand by the well, when the daughters of men come out, and I ask for a drink. If she says, drink, and then offers to water down the camels. Can you imagine the water it would take to water down 10 camels? Let her be the one. Then I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. That's a pretty good fleece. That's not telling God what to do. But with this confirmation, he will see whether this woman is the right one or the wrong one. If she offers to give him a drink, water down the camels, that's her. If she pours a pot of water on his head, that ain't her. So it didn't take long for his prayer to be answered. Notice, in his providence, God brings one by the name of Rebekah to the well. Look at verse 15. And it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, gee, what a coincidence, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with a pitcher on her shoulder. Now, the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. They wore veils in those days. No man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. Now, as I look at those four words, very beautiful to behold, it just came to mind what people say today. Beauty's only skin deep. Is that true? Absolutely not. Jesus Christ, when you come to know him through his Holy Spirit, puts a beauty within a woman that just radiates from the inside out. And it's amazing how, you know, Christian women just glow, just radiate with a sparkle in their eye, with joy, with a smile. And so here we see, she was very beautiful to behold, and I don't think this was for a beauty contest. And the servant ran to meet her. and said, "Please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher." So she said, "Drink, my lord," small l. And then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water from your camels also until they have finished drinking." I wonder what Eliezer was thinking then when she said that. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all the camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Wow. This, of course, had to be a total shock to the servant. He just stood there in wonder when she gave him a drink and then when she went and watered down the camels. Even before he finished his prayer, here comes Rebecca. Amazing. God works that way sometimes. Sometimes we're praying about something and God will answer that prayer even before we're finished. Other times he tells us to wait, like he did Abraham and Sarah. Abraham waited till he was over 100 years old to have their first child with Sarah. And sometimes God answers prayers immediately. Other times it's wait. It's either yes, no, or wait. And, gee, what a coincidence. She's from Abraham's family. And she not only gives him a drink, but she waters down all 10 camels. That's an ambitious woman. As he stands in wonder and in silence, this is the amazing thing. You know, I always like to stop and ponder and think about the situation and kind of put myself in their sandals at times. And little did she know that this humble task that she was doing for a stranger would make her the bride of a man with a covenant relationship with God that would lead all the way up to God's Son, the Messiah. She had no idea what was going to happen that day. She was just about her business going to the well. In her kindness, in her inner beauty, she decided to help out the servant there. Isn't that nothing short of incredible? She would also bear a son by the name of Jacob or Jacob, who would also be called Israel. And it would be through Jacob that the 12 tribes would come of Israel. Amazing. See how God works? All the way up to the virgin-born son of Mary, the Savior of the world. Confirmation of his prayer to the Lord God took place immediately, exactly as he has prayed in laying out his fleece. Lord, if you do this, that's got to be her. Look at verse 22 now. I love this. So it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that probably took a while, that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrist weighing 10 shekels of gold and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?" So she said, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover," she said to him, "we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge." Then the man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Look how God works. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things that had taken place. So Rebecca runs home. And again, you know me, I look at verses sometimes and I ask myself questions. I shared last week how nose rings are biblical. When you see a young person or even some older people today with a nose ring, don't put them down. Even this morning, a young lady had a nose ring. I said, "You know that's in the Bible?" It's biblical. Rebecca had a nose ring. Yeah, so we have to be very, very careful not to put down these younger people today. Earrings are biblical. Nose rings are biblical. The all-important thing is whether Jesus knows you. Couldn't resist. It takes a while sometimes, you guys. But the next time you see someone with a nose ring, open door. Wow, do you know that Pastor Joe just taught on nose rings on Sunday? Yeah. I've always been accused of having a ring in my nose for 48 years. I can say that because Tina's not here. She's upstairs. But here, you know, we see Rebecca. God blesses her. Her kindness with gifts. And then he asks the all-important question, verses 23 and 24. The all-important question, confirmation. Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please. Is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? So she said, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, who she bore to Nahor. And that had to completely blow the servant away. Immediately, the servant's prayer is confirmed. Amazing, isn't it, how God works? The first lady he runs into at the well with a pitcher, he asks for a drink and she offers to water down the 10 camels. And he's blown away. And the first thing I notice here in verse 26, and I think this is an important lesson for all of us, is that when God answers your prayer, give him thanks. This doesn't mean we have to bow down wherever we are. If you're driving, that'd be real difficult. But give thanks to God. Worship the Lord and thank him for answered prayer. And I must admit, there's a lot of times I pray for stuff and I don't thank the Lord when he does fulfill it. I'm a knucklehead. Well, more and more, Lord, remind me. And sometimes, you know, I'll pray for something in the morning and God will do it that morning. And I'm driving home and I go, oh, Lord, forgive me. You answered my prayer this morning and I didn't even give you thanks. And it's so important for all of us to be a thankful people for the prayers that God answers. And again, some of them immediately, some of them take a while. But notice what he does immediately. He bows down and he worships the Lord. And look what he says in verse 27. Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. He gave thanks. Thank you, Lord. Verse 28. And so the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man by the well. And so it came to pass when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists. And when he heard the words of his sister Rebecca saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. And so as Rebecca runs home, she tells her family about it. And all of a sudden, when her brother Laban hears about it, and he sees the gifts that she has. We're going to see a little bit more about Laban later on. He goes to the well and invites the servant, the man, to come to their home. And in verse 31, he says, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and the place for the camels. And so hospitality in those days was very common. And even to this very day, when you go to the Middle East, hospitality is off the charts. It's a common practice in the East for people. When people were traveling or when they were visiting, they were invited into people's homes. They were fed and they, you know, had lodging and all. And so the servant, notice this, I think this is amazing as well. The servant would not eat until he had fulfilled his mission. Wow, what another lesson for all of us. Look at verse 32. And the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. And he said, speak on. And so he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become, and he has, excuse me, and he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and male and female servants and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. And to him he has given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel before you and prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son and from my family and from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family, for if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from the oath. And this day I came to the well and said, O Lord God, my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I will stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, if I say to her, please give me a little drink, a little water from your pitcher to drink, and she says to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also, let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. But before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, please let me drink. And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give your camels a drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. Then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. And so I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrists. And I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me that I may turn to the right or to the left. And so what we have here, this long section that I just read, he just reiterates the story to the family. Let them know what was going on and why he was there. And it's amazing how he wouldn't eat until he shared his mission, which he does in great detail here. And he now gives them the option. If she would go, praise the Lord. If not, then he will go. Their response, verses 50 and 51. Notice. And it came to pass. Whoops, I'm sorry. Here is Rebekah before you. I'm sorry, verse 50. Duh. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife as the Lord has spoken. Wow. So there he sits with Rebekah's brother and mother and asks if they're willing to let her go to become the wife of Isaac. He says, this is from the Lord. They said, here is Rebekah, take her and go. Let her be your master's son's wife. Abraham's servant bows down and worships the Lord, but check it out, verse 52. And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard their words that he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And he ate, and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. But her brother, Laban, and her mother said, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she may go. And he said, do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master. So they said, we will call the young woman and ask her personally. And they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. So here we see. Immediately they kind of waver a little bit, waffle a little bit. You know, don't go right away. Give us 10 more days. Give us 10 days. Which is, you know, understandable. Give us 10 days to say goodbye, to celebrate her marriage, whatever it might be, to invite the neighbors over to say goodbye, her friends and relatives and all. And you know what they do? Look at verse 58. They leave it up to Rebekah. Amazing. And notice what Rebekah says in verse 58. They called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. As I mentioned when I started, this was almost the title of the message here this morning, and for good reason. It's like the subtitle. He blesses her with a blessing. And not only that, we have a prophetic scripture. They blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister may become the mother of thousands, of ten thousands. May your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. And here we see, prophetically, God was speaking even through the family. So now the journey begins. 500 miles. Last section. Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. But Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahai-Roi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And so Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Now, the journey back was 500 miles on a camel. Imagine. Camels in those days traveled about 25 miles a day. The servant, of course, didn't waste any time. Get those camels moving. Isaac, of course, was living away from Abraham, as we see here. And all of a sudden, he goes out to the field to meditate. I believe he was probably praying. Possibly praying about a wife. Who knows? He lifts up his eyes and sees camels. She lifts up her eyes and sees Isaac. After she asks who he is and finds out it is Isaac, she covers herself with a veil. Sign of a virgin, sign of purity and modesty. And it was a marriage made in heaven. Look at 66 and 67. And the servant told Isaac all the things he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Marriage made in heaven. A marriage divinely appointed by God. You know what? This can be your love story as well. What do you mean, Pastor Joe? I'm glad you asked. Those three words, I will go. You know those three words? Along with three other words, I will stay, are written on the heart of every person on this planet. Wedding supper of the Lamb is coming very soon. Like, I almost get anxious at times when I see what's going on and I read God's word. When it comes to the wedding of supper of the Lamb, will you go? It's up to you to say, I will go. What's really sad to me, what really breaks my heart, is there's a lot of people today, even with what's going on in the world, that say, I will stay. Jesus, God's only begotten Son, the bridegroom, is bidding you to come. Those three words are extremely important. I will go. Yes, there's a wedding. God is inviting you through his servant, through the helper, through the Holy Spirit. Even this morning, in the message, there's enough of God's message here to challenge you if you do not believe that you need to make a decision. Will you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Or will you just stay? If you already belong to Jesus, hallelujah. You can say, I will go. I'm ready. You are his bride, the bride of Christ. And you know what? We're closer to the wedding supper of the Lamb than ever before in the history of the whole world. We have a short time left to say, I will go, if you have not already said it. And if God has spoken to you through the Holy Spirit here this morning and challenged you to come to the wedding supper of the Lamb, you need to respond. I will go. You need to give your heart to Jesus Christ. The wedding supper of the Lamb. Wedding invitations are given out every day and from the pulpit here every Sunday and Wednesday whenever we get together. Have you received the invitation and have you responded? I will go. If you are here this morning and you would like to respond and give your life to Jesus Christ and be saved and be at the wedding supper of the Lamb and you would like to say, I will go, I would like you to stand quickly and invite Jesus Christ into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior. Folks, it's too late to be playing games with God. I beseech you here this morning. It's not a religion. It's a personal relationship with God's Son. And he will forgive you for all of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, give you a new heart and a new home in heaven one day. For those that say, I will stay, 7 years of hell is going to break loose here on this earth, the tribulation period. And what's really sad is the person of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is going to be withdrawn. He's called the restrainer. I can't imagine, as bad as this world is today, what will happen when the restrainer is removed. There will be no restraints on anything. Do I say this to scare you? No. I say this from the bottom of my heart, that you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by saying, I will go. Anyone, as we close. Today is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. And thank you that we got through it in 45 minutes. 67 verses. 67 important verses. How you, the Father, sent the Holy Spirit into this world to take a bride for your Son. What a miracle that is. And those of us here this morning that have given our lives to Christ, that are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, are sealed for the day of redemption. And Lord, we are so close to seeing you face to face. Even in the book of Thessalonians, where it talks about the rapture of the church, prior to talking about the rapture, you tell us that we need to be pure. We need to keep our lives pure. We need to quit playing games, being worldly and carnal, and calling ourselves Christians. And so help us, Lord, to purify our lives, our hearts, our minds, our souls, and to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit like never before. And not only that, Lord, to be ready to give out invitations, wedding invitations, wherever we go. We never know when you're going to open the door. It could be a nose ring this week. Who knows? But I pray, Lord, that you would, through the power of your Holy Spirit, prod us to share our faith. May we glow. And again, beauty is not only skin deep for men and women. The beauty of the Holy Spirit just radiates through our lives, through our bodies, our eyes, our minds, our souls. And so help us, Lord, to radiate for you, would you please? And so now, as we prepare our hearts for communion, I pray, Lord, that you would just allow us to take a moment here before the cup and the bread are passed out to just cleanse our hearts and minds and to get right with you before we partake of the cup and the bread. Would you do that, please, in Jesus' name? Amen. Let's have the ushers come forth.